On July 25th, Stormont will become the world's 123rd Test cricket ground. The match between Ireland men and Zimbabwe men will become the first time the two nations have met in a Test match. And that Test match will be only the second home Test Ireland has played so far. But before the 22 players and two umpires cross that boundary rope to start this historic match, the journey to that moment is decades in the making. This is the story of that journey. This is The Road to Stormont. The Road to Stormont is a Green Ball podcast special where we'll meet some of the best, funniest, most talented and most dedicated people in Irish cricket. Their stories are funny, fascinating, moving, but all are driven by a passion for our sport. Some on the field and some off it. Some in front of the cameras, some behind the scenes where you'll never see them. But each has a story to tell. I'm Dave Sirra, and over six episodes, myself and a few colleagues will discover the people, places and performances that have come together to create The Road to Stormont. Now, you can't have a cricket game without a few things, like a pitch, for instance.
I suppose first thing, if I can get you to say your name and say your role.
All right. Philip McCormick, head groundsman, Stormont.
What got you into groundskeeping?
Started a long, long time ago. My dad did our own club ground down Hollywood. I volunteered for years doing it, and I was a 6, 7, 8 year old and sitting on the machine cutting the outfield. Probably health and safety not quite as stringent back then when a 7 year old sitting cutting and cricket outfield. But my dad sort of heated that. He did a bit at North Down Cricket Club and a bit of rugby pitches and football pitches here and there. So I've always had an interest in it, and I was given the opportunity here when I was 17 or 18 when I left school to come over for the summer and help out Tommy Hamilton, who was the head groundsman back then, and enjoyed it that much that they decided to keep me on in the winter, and I went to Greenmount and did my level 2 NVQ in sports turf in Greenmount when I was 18, 19, and then I've stayed on ever since, and that was, I guess, my 28 years, yeah. Yeah. You get less for murder.
So, to clarify, we're here on the final day of the second four-day match between Emerging Ireland and West Indies Academy. We're enjoying your ground, your good work. How is it? What's it like preparing a pitch, first of all?
Well, preparing a... this is totally different. There's been a big eye-opener for me, and I'm glad I've had this four-day game to get ready for the Test match. Going into this match, we thought the pitch was hard, it was looked good. But then the difference in this is, the difference in the Test match as well, is going to be they're going to be using the Red Duke's ball. So what we have noticed, especially with this warm-up game, is the Red Duke's ball is a lot harder than the white Kookaburra. Mm. What we noticed is when we thought the pitch was dry and hard on the first day, the indentations that were left with the Kookaburra or with the Duke's, it was totally different. There was a bit of indentation where the ball was pitching. The ball was then hitting it again. It was a bit up and down. But, we rolled them out. Seemed to roll out okay, and it's flattened out now. So it's definitely a big lesson learned that, the Test match coming up and the harder Duke's ball, we're going to have to spend a bit more time rolling and maybe a heavier roller as well to get the pitch to that, optimum level of hardness, which we haven't had any sort of 3 day, 4 day cricket in must be 10 years, 12 years. So it's definitely a real, if somebody would have said, would you want this to be your Test pitch, I would definitely say no. So we've at least we've had a chance to, have a look at it and see what we need to learn. So
obviously a lot of work's gone in, as in the last few months, which it's a busy time for you. What does it take creating a Test match pitch?
A lot of luck. you can see there, with the Test pitch covered, so we're basically a month away, and we've started watering the Test pitch. We're watering it twice a day, keeping the sheets or a mat on it to keep the water in. We're just trying to get the water down to a depth, which is key. That's, I think, probably another factor in this pitch that we're using at the minute. We didn't water enough, didn't get the water down deep enough, and it's cracked. So, you know, we're trying to spend a week, maybe 8-9 days, getting water down to as low as we can in that, clay profile, and then start really rolling it. And we'll say, well, we're going to order in a heavier roller for maybe a week in the middle of the 3 weeks rolling time, to really get that consolidation that we need. But yeah, the weather plays a big factor, of course. You know, everybody's sort of thinking it's been a poor summer so far. It's been reasonably dry. It's been cloudy. It's been cold at times, but it's been reasonably dry up here. And we found that the wickets seem to be drying out a fair bit quicker this year. We had a lot of work done at the end of last year, and it seems to be taking a lot of moisture out of the square. So we're playing around with that as well. But yeah, it's, you know, you play a lot with the weather in Ireland, obviously, and you know, any day you can get over 22, 23 degrees makes a big difference in the preparation of a pitch. So yeah, there's not many of those about, but they're valued.
Yeah, we're looking out in the square. We're sitting under the trees here. Glorious day. Enjoy it while you can. And the wicket, it's under wraps there. Looks like it's almost top secret.
Yeah.
In terms of high pressure situation, so there's various factors you mentioned. What is the most pressure you felt creating a pitch?
What game?
Yeah.
Previously? That first one, I think it was one of my first 2 years, maybe, after I took over from Tommy Hamilton. It was the first time England came over and played in Ireland. It was one day international. And that was real pressure because it was on Sky TV. Whenever you're preparing for a match, the first thing you ask is it all going to be televised? that's when you know. See, when you hear, yeah, it's going to be on Sky TV in front of, you know, billions around the world, that's when you really start to panic. So yeah, that's. But that first one was nerve wracking. I remember when the Australians were over a few years ago, and it was the famous 10.1 overs. We called it the Miracle Stormer because it was absolutely torrential the day before, and the hospitality people coming over from England all were cancelled because there was going to be no cricket. And we managed to get 10.1 overs in. It was actually a good 10.1 overs. We saw Brett Lee bowling at the speed of light.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. But yeah, you know, you get super nervous. Like, I can't sit down for about the first 10 overs and
really
looking between my fingers to see how the ball's reacting off the pitch. You get so nervous. I always tell people the story about one of the first times I actually slept under the mobiles one night, which it's actually a lie, but a lot of people believe that I was that nervous preparing my first pitch when I took over. I actually slept under the mobiles, but yeah, a lot of people believe that. It's not quite true.
Which are you looking forward to more? You've possibly answered it there, but the test match itself, or say just after, and it's all gone as well as you'd.
Yeah, well, I've been, say, 28 years in the job, and this is the pinnacle for me. I've been wanting to be this for any groundsman. You want to be a test match groundsman. All right, hosting one day internationals against Australia and England and all the rest of it, but actually being the test match groundsman and having your test match ground number is as big as you can get. So this is going to be huge. Yeah, you just hope it goes well. You would love to get it into the fifth day. Getting it into the fifth day would be something really, really special. But the way cricket's played nowadays, there's not many test matches anywhere in the world that are going 5 days. But yeah, you just hope, you know, you get a decent crowd and a bit of good weather and a decent pitch, and you know, the boys come off and say, yeah, well done, footer, because you know, that's what it's all about at the end of the day, you know, getting a good pitch for these guys to play on and showcasing what they're about. Because you know, haven't had too many test matches in Ireland. This is obviously the second one, the first one in Northern Ireland, so it is very, very special.
When you get into a match, there tends to be a lot of pitch talk, pitch chat. There's a lot of time to talk in a cricket match. A lot of people love to talk. Some people know, some people maybe don't know. What do you hope people say about your pitch?
Yeah, well, it's a big thing for grounds. When everybody comes out and it's that 22 yards in the middle of the ground, which everybody looks at. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody thinks they know better than the grounds and stuff before the match is played, or it looks a wee bit soft, not as much grass on it. There's a lot of negativity as well, which, you know, I'll probably go on to that. I suppose I might as well while we're here. But, you know, commentators can say things off the cuff, and there was a big thing a couple of years ago about Mark Butcher, you know, flipping comments, which, you know, I think it was the groundsman at Edgbaston, Gary Barwell, you know, had a conversation with him on Twitter and stuff. And, you know, it's negative. You know, you say the ball's holding in the wicket, it's not coming on. But, you know, that's commentators sitting at the other side of the ground, and how do they know that it's sitting in the wicket? It's negative comments, which, you know, that aren't true. And, it, you know, commentators and, you know, media, are, that's their, that's a job to critique and whatever else. But it plays a big part on a groundsman. You know, all you seem to hear now is negative comments. You know, nobody can come along and say, pitch played well. They have to find something negative about it, which is, it's you know, it's a societal thing ever since COVID is what I have found. You know, people were a lot friendlier and, you know, positive towards your pitches. But now it seems to be that they have to find a negative point about it. But it is, most groundsmen you ask will say that, you know, you don't really get much praise nowadays, and it seems to be more negativity, but that's just the way it is. Unfortunately, you have to take it. But yeah, you know, there's the profile of groundsmen hopefully being raised over the next 30 years to people understand that, you know, the stress that we go through, it's extremely stressful. You know, when you think it's first test match in Northern Ireland, second test match in Ireland, you know, there's going to be possibly 2,000 people here watching. It's going to be all over the media. And, you know, all it takes is one negative comment that, oh, the ball's sticking in the wicket. It's not sticking in the wicket. You know, if the ball's 40 overs old, the ball's getting soft. It's maybe not coming on as a new ball, but it's those sort of negative comments that really annoy you. But, yeah, that's part and parcel of being a groundsman, the stress you're under.
I suppose everyone's looking at that strip of grass, whether you're commentator, spectator, journalist. We're all wishing that we were out there. The players are out there. Umpires are out there as well. And effectively, you're out there as well. You're out there with them. Or you were out there before, out there after. We just wish we were a part of it.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
Yeah. No, it's great being out there. You know, I remember years ago, it was South Africa, India and Ireland in a tri-series here. And the weather was shocking on the build-up. But Jack Callis turned up. Sourav Ganguly came out. Sachin Tendulkar, who was, you know, he scored his 15,000th one-day run here. Yeah. He scored his 15,000th one-day run and then in Stormont. And you're standing beside these guys and they're asking your opinion and stuff. It was great. Yeah. Really is great. And, you know, you have test match coming along and you have umpires like Richard Kettlebrand and stuff who's been here before, and they come out and everybody's coming out and what do you think? And you turn around and say, I have absolutely no idea. That really gets them talking. Really? No idea. That's the good one. You pretend I have no idea what it's going to be.
What's the best bit about being a groundskeeper?
Oh, that's a good question. Obviously, Stormont, you know, it's multi-sports complex. We've got everything here, which is not just cricket. It's varied. No job's ever the same when you come in. You're going to be doing hockey pitches or whatever, but in terms of being cricket grounds, when you're outdoors, it's a hobby for me. It's not coming in. It's not driving into work. It's coming in and doing your hobby. You know, I played cricket at a reasonable level back in the day, and obviously didn't get as far as these guys have got. But, you know, still being involved in cricket and producing international pitches is big, and I love it. Absolutely love my job. And not a bad place to work here for Nixon as well.
Not bad. You know, they like this.
Look after you sometimes. But yeah, it's a great job. Absolutely love being a cricket groundsman, and hopefully I'll retire doing it.
Yeah. We mentioned some of the negative chat. Obviously had a lot of rain yesterday. It tends to happen in the Irish cricket season.
Just a bit.
What's the worst bit?
Yeah, it's the waiting around. Especially, you know, groundsmen have about 5 weather apps on their phone. And, you know, usually 2 of them, you know, are the same. The other 3 are absolutely useless, give you nothing. But, you know, as a groundsman, when the weather's coming and, you know, you're trying to get sheets on, you understand the guys want to play.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, you're struggling with staff, numbers, pulling sheets on, pulling sheets off. When you know the weather's coming in and you're sort of half hoping the weather does come in to prove you're right, but you want to play cricket at the same time. So it's a balancing act. We come in this morning and with the sheets off, because you know it's going to be fine. Just everything ready to go. Guys turn up straight on to the practice. But, you know, yesterday you were on and off, bit of drizzle here and there. The drizzle puts us back 5 or 10 minutes and you're starting to blot our sheets again. There's another half hour, 45 minutes, be an hour to get cleared up before you can start again. And all the permutations with overs reducing and then time to get on and then warm up times, it can be frustrating. But yeah, most of the guys know, especially what it's like up here at Stormont and playing cricket in Ireland. You understand, the guys know what the weather is and sort of work with you, which is good.
favourite ground in the world?
Ooh. Played on the Kensington Oval years ago.
Really?
Yeah, on a cricket tour. Vaguely remember that.
How'd you do?
Bit of a hangover. I got murdered. Guy Hendy Wallace, who was a professional up in the Northwest, he was playing against us. He organised the tour and he hammered me all around the Kensington Oval. But you have to say Lords or the MCG. It's a big, massive bowl of a place.
I love the
MCG just for the crowd. But yeah, lucky old Carl over at Lords doing the dream job.
If you're listening in.
You all right, Carl?
What is your ideal wicket? What do you look to get out there?
First day would be a bit of pace and bounce, bit in it for the seamers, the old usual adage, you know, if you're from three down at lunchtime, bit in it for the seamers, and then sort of flatten out for two and a half days for the batsman. And then sort of where we are now with this wicket, where it's a bit up and down, one end, bit more in it for the bowlers now, you know, wicket sort of deteriorating. So yeah, just trying to get one of those is virtually impossible, but that's what you dream of, you know, two or three good days of really good wicket for the batsman, a wee bit on the opening day, and the last day and a half, coming and bringing the bowlers back in with a bit of spin. But it's, you know, that's the thing about cricket. You can go out and cut a football pitch to the same height, have it looking lovely and green. You can do a speed test with the ball rolling over a football pitch. It's not an exact science, but cricket is nowhere near an exact science. Like, every pitch is different. You can get moisture readers, you can get clay impact hammers, you can dry it out, you can record the temperatures, the amount of rainfall, and it'll still not play the same. And, you know, and how the ball reacts over the cloud cover, the humidity, all these, you know, dozens of different factors play a part in how your pitch, you know, it's not just the pitch, it's the atmosphere and all that, and swing and everything else. So yeah, there's no exact science, and that's why it's so good preparing pitches, because, you know, you can prepare hundreds of pitches and you maybe never get the same one again.
Possibly more art than science.
Yeah, definitely.
Artist.
Yeah. Artist. Bit of science there. You can work things out, you know, try and keep things the same, but yeah. I know it's the first time they called an artist, but yeah.
we've been enjoying your work. We are on day 4, West Indies Academy, just building up a small lead. I think 8 wickets down, perhaps. Can't quite see. Past the side screen. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Join us next episode when we'll meet some of the people you never see in front of the camera.